This is Ozarks at Large for Friday, May 16th, 2014. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Christina Thomas. KUAF is supported by Northwest Arkansas Media, publishers of Northwest Arkansas Times, Springdale and Rogers Morning News, Benton County Daily Record, and the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. These daily newspapers offer local, state, national, and international news, plus business and Razorback news. NWAOnline.com for more information.
Still on the Hill, we'll be performing songs from Once a River, story songs about the Beaver Lake watershed, May 27th at 7 p.m. in Walton Arts Center's Star Theater in Fayetteville. Still on the Hill, we'll give away 100 CDs during this free performance, which is part of the Artisphere celebration. More information available at stillonthehill.com. And though admission is free, reservations must be made by calling the Walton Arts Center box office at 443-5600.
On this edition of Ozarks, we conclude our series of conversations with candidates in primary races with GOP congressional candidate Bruce Westerman. We also welcome Barrett Baber back to the Furman Garner Performance Studio to hear a new take on one of his songs.
First, same-sex marriage licenses are again being issued after a Pulaski County Circuit judge yesterday clarified an earlier decision. Judge Chris Piazza struck down all laws preventing gay couples from marrying after the Arkansas Supreme Court earlier this week noted one law hadn't been ruled on previously. Jerry Cox with the Arkansas Family Council, which has pushed for the original constitutional ban a decade ago, says he doesn't like the ruling.
I'm very disappointed in the overall ruling. That's certainly the case because you have a judge in Little Rock that took the age-old definition of marriage that was written into the Arkansas Constitution in a fair election by 750,000 Arkansans, and he just simply said, I don't agree with that definition. I'm going to strike it down as unconstitutional. So I find that extremely troubling.
But Pulaski County Clerk Larry Crane says his office resumed issuing licenses and is pleased Judge Piazza clarified the ruling.
It was expected pretty much that he would go back and clear up any questions that were outstanding, as the Supreme Court had indicated that he needed to. He also included the provision where the order that struck down that particular statute that was in question was entered nunc-pro-tunc, now for then, so that it relates back and brings all of the case together.
Judge Piazza says the first couple to get licenses showed up almost immediately after the ruling was made public. Other counties say they're considering their options. Washington County again started issuing marriage licenses to same-sex couples after stopping yesterday.
A cohort of legal professionals and organizations yesterday spoke against what they see as the emerging presence of dark money in state judicial races. Speakers characterize the term dark money as a campaign spending from out-of-state groups that don't reveal the source of their donors or agendas. Speaking on the steps of the state capitol, Brad Hendricks, chairman of the State Bar Association Professional Ethics Committee, did not mince words when speaking about the harm of these groups in judicial elections.
We have a strong independent judiciary set forth in our Constitution, but this dark money can do more to undermine it than anything that can come out of this building behind me or anything that can come out of Congress. It is insidious, it is dangerous, and it really needs to be stopped.
Many of those in attendance referred to the more than $400,000 worth of television ads run by the Political Action Committee, Law Enforcement Alliance of America. The ads attack state Supreme Court candidate Tim Cullen for the actions of a client he was ethically obligated to defend. Cullen's opponent, Robin Wynn, has said he has no connection with the ads, but has not repudiated them or distanced himself. Both were invited to the rally at the Capitol, but only Cullen attended.
Research into climate change from 13 federal agencies released last week finds Arkansas is being, and will continue to be, affected negatively by a warming climate. The assessment concludes storms, temperatures, and precipitation are becoming and will become more extreme, along with more frequent fluctuations in conditions. Jerry Hatfield, a researcher with the USDA's National Lab for Agriculture and Environment in Iowa, says as temperatures rise, human responses may accelerate detrimental effects to the climate.
We spend a lot of energy in terms of cooling. And as we warm, we're going to have to expend more energy because we humans want to have a certain comfort level in all of this.
He rejects arguments by those skeptical humans could have such a profound effect on climate.
We think climate is really well behaved, but in reality it's not. And then there's an ownership that humans have. I mean, we've increased our CO2 levels, we've changed our landscape, we evaporate more water. All of those are constituents that we put back into the atmosphere, and every one of those, CO2, methane, nitrous oxide, water vapor, all begin to change these climate signals that are going on. They change the dynamics of the atmosphere.
The assessment, conducted every 4 years, says climate change results in prolonged or more severe episodes of drought, wildfires, and pests, resulting in a reduction of livestock and crop productivity.
Between March and April of this year, the unemployment rate in Arkansas significantly declined by 0.3%. According to new data released this morning by the Federal Bureau of Labor Statistics, the state's seasonally adjusted unemployment rate was 6.6% last month, which is nearly a full point lower than it was in April of last year. However, while the actual number of unemployed people declined by about 5,100 from March to April, the overall labor force also declined by 8,200 people from month to month. Year over year, the overall labor force only declined by about 4,400 people.
One of the top officials at the University of Arkansas is retiring soon. Don Peterson, the Vice Chancellor for Finance and Administration, will retire as of June 30th. The announcement was made public earlier today. Peterson has held the position since September 1998 and previously served as Vice Chancellor for Academic Affairs beginning in 1986 and served as the Acting Academic Affairs Vice Chancellor in the year prior to that. As of his retirement, Peterson will be the longest-serving senior administrator in the history of the university. Though he has served as a vice chancellor for 29 years under three chancellors, he joined the U of A faculty in 1972 as an assistant professor of physics and was chairman of that department from 1978 to 1983.
The 24th-ranked Razorback baseball team opened its final regular season series last night with a 9-4 win over the Missouri Tigers. The win puts Arkansas at 14-14 in Southeast Conference play and at 33-21 on the season. The victory also assures the Razorbacks they will have a spot in this month's SEC tournament in Hoover, Alabama. The series continues tonight at Taylor Stadium in Columbia, Missouri.
Meanwhile, the Northwest Arkansas Naturals closed out three games in North Little Rock last night with a 9-2 loss to the Travelers. The Nats now 15-24 on the season. They return to Springdale tonight. They'll open up a home-and-home series against the Tulsa Drillers.
Tonight, mostly cloudy with a 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Overnight low of 41 in northwest Arkansas. And in the Arkansas River Valley, a 50% chance of precipitation and a low of 47. Tomorrow, Saturday, partly sunny with a high of 65 in northwest Arkansas. A slight chance of morning showers and a high of 71 in the River Valley. Mostly cloudy tomorrow evening with a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Lows in the lower 50s. This is Ozarks at Large. Primary elections are May 20th, with early voting already underway. This week, Jacob Kaufman from our content partner KUAR in Little Rock talks to the two candidates seeking the Republican nomination for Arkansas's 4th Congressional District as part of our ongoing series on select contested primary races. Democrat James Lee Witt is running unopposed, and Libertarian Ken Hamilton already has his party's nomination. The 4th District, after the 2010 census and subsequent redistricting, now extends as far north as Madison County and also includes other parts of our region, including Clarksville, Paris, and portions of Sebastian County. Yesterday, we spoke with Tommy Maul. Today's discussion is with Republican Bruce Westerman of Garland County. He's an engineer and state representative and former state House Majority Leader.
The oil spill in Mayflower has some Arkansans reassessing their views of safety practices for that particular industry. The same pipeline runs all through the 4th District. Would you pursue any regulations to move pipelines away from watershed-type areas?
Well, it's impossible to move pipelines away from watershed areas because everywhere is a watershed area. If you have an oil spill, it's in some watershed. Distribution of oil and gas is critical to our economy. It's a risk that we have to take. We should do everything we can to mitigate those risks. That's, my background's in engineering, and that's a lot of what engineers do is come up with the best guidelines, the best specifications and designs to mitigate those risks. That's what we need to focus on. We can't quit pumping oil and gas in underground pipelines and keep our economy going like it is today.
There are seemingly endless hot spots and trouble areas internationally that the U.S. wants to help shape in some way. What are your thoughts on the crisis in Ukraine, and when do you think using force abroad is a sound strategy?
To address the crisis in Ukraine right now, I think it's part of that crisis is here because of failed foreign policy from the current administration. I think we're viewed as in a position of weakness, unlike we've been in the past, because of the leadership of President Obama or lack of leadership thereof. But I think the Ukrainian issue gives Arkansas, and especially the 4th District of Arkansas, an opportunity to take a role in that and also to help the economy in the 4th District. One of the things that Russia uses over Eastern European countries is their natural gas. We have an abundance of natural gas in Arkansas in the 4th District. We should be working on ways to ship that gas there in LNG form and get that into the pipelines and use it as a counter against what Russia's using to hold over the heads of those Eastern European countries. In researching this, I found that we don't even have a trade policy where we can sell natural gas to Japan. They're having to buy their gas from Russia as well. We have a lot of opportunities to use the resources that we have here in the foreign policy debate. Eventually, we need stronger leadership in the White House to curtail some of these situations before they ever occur.
You mentioned the natural gas industry. The common critique that you see are people on YouTube and stuff like that lighting their water on fire. Are you at all concerned about what expanding the natural gas industry in Arkansas might mean for residents and landowners?
I think expanding the natural gas industry in Arkansas will mean economic prosperity for residents and landowners. You've got to be real careful about what you see on YouTube and the validity of some of those things. There are regulations in place. There are agencies to see over drilling and processing of all resources. And we need to follow the rules and do it the right way and use those resources to help grow our economy.
Perhaps I shouldn't have singled out YouTube, but I understand your argument. Could you expand a little bit about your position on domestic surveillance and programs like the NSA?
I think Americans expect a right to privacy, and they don't want their own government spying on them. I'm opposed to our government spying on our own citizens for whatever reason. If they've got a valid reason to find out information on somebody, then get a search warrant and do it the way the law says they should do it instead of using these hidden surveillance techniques.
Moving on to the Affordable Care Act, you're opposed to the Affordable Care Act. Would you have any plans to replace it? And specifically, when doing that, I want you to keep in mind things like the private option or Medicaid expansion. Would there be a similar solution to help subsidize them under your plan, these people that are from 100 to 140% of the poverty line?
You know, to start with, there's a lot of Fifth Avenue branding that goes into politics today, and the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, I don't know that it could have been worded or labeled any worse. It's not, in my opinion, about protecting patients. It's not about affordable care. It's about control from a top-down centralized government in Washington, D.C. It's been changed up close to 40 times now. The president himself changes it. A lot of the things that were put into the program to implement it have been taken away. So I think the best thing we can do is to repeal the Affordable Care Act. Now, that may take some time to do it because it's been being implemented for so long. There's a lot of things that have to be undone. And eventually, we need to replace it with something that works. And Congressman Ryan's budget, he has proposed, one big area of the Affordable Care Act, the Medicaid part, he's proposed using block grants and global waivers, similar to what's been done in other states, that works very well. I think that would work well in Arkansas and other states and save a lot of money for the federal government and the taxpayers of America.
That was Bruce Westerman of Garland County. He's one of two candidates seeking the Republican nomination in the primary election for Arkansas's 4th Congressional District. He talked with Jacob Kaufman from our content partner KUAR in Little Rock.
Hi, my name is Paul, your host for the Generic Blues Show, which airs every Friday night at 9 o'clock. Join me this Friday. We've got new music from Robin Ford and John Mayall. We also remember local musician David Johnson, the band leader of the Fabulous High Tops, Sherry Williams, Eric Bibb, and more. Again, that's the Generic Blues Show every Friday night at 9 o'clock. We'll see you then.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Christina Thomas.
Tonight at 8, the Trey McIntyre Project returns to Walton Arts Center for a performance included in the venue's 10x10 art series. This highly critically acclaimed dance company will bring to the stage a new ballet choreographed by the company's namesake, a dance that just recently made its debut. Brett Perry is one of the dancers who is in Northwest Arkansas this week and will be on stage tonight with the Trey McIntyre Project. He's inside the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio with us now. Welcome, Brett.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming in.
Right. I'm interested in one of the pieces that you're performing this evening. It's The Vinegar Works, modeled after the works of Edward Gorey, mm-hmm. who's a, you know, writer-illustrator. Sort of, I mean, his figures are kind of stick figures. What's it like trying to portray something, you know, that's kind of a doodle through dance and on stage?
Yeah, The Vinegar Works is Trey's newest creation, and like you said, it's inspired by the works of Edward Gorey. Trey got the rights to 4 of Edward Gorey's stories. You know, Edward Gorey has written thousands of stories. I mean, the man is incredible. It just goes on and on and on. He took it right from the pages. You know, it is the stories coming to life, the characters, all of the character research that we did. We try to make the faces of the characters in the story. And it's interesting taking something that's so flat and making it 3D was kind of a challenge. You know, it took, because you don't want to go overboard with it, then it kind of becomes silly and over the top. So it's finding this balance of what those characters are on the page and how to bring those characters to life. Like, I play the little kid. So I'm channeling, you know, my inner 5, 6, 7-year-olds. And just the research that I did with kids, you know, when they have fear, you know, they tend to turn in a little bit. You know, just like those little tiny details that we kind of grabbed from the pages and tried to bring those to life.
So did he pass out, you know, the books and have you just kind of study them?
Yeah, he had the books around the studio. And as he was choreographing, he had, like, the 4 books kind of laid out around him. And I remember we do the Gashly Crumb Tinies, which is his alphabet book, which mm-hmm. is an incredible story. And I remember at one point he was... I don't know if he was stuck or just figuring out what he wanted to do for the letter X. So he grabbed the book, was kind of flipping through the book, and he saw the image of the kid that Edward Gorey had drawn for X, and that was the move that I did. He just sort of took it right out of the book, you know, used that inspiration right then and there. So, yeah, he had the books. We posted the stories on the wall so we could kind of always go back and read them and check in with our characters. Some of them are, I wonder what's going on in his head sometimes.
In Edward Gorey's head.
Yeah, Edward Gorey's head. I mean, just very dark and twisted, but yet with a sense of humor and very interesting stuff.
Well, from Edward Gorey to Freddie Mercury on this tour, because there's Mercury Half-Life, which mm-hmm. includes the music of Queen, right? We Will Rock You and things like that.
Exactly. Mercury Half-Life is this epic Queen piece. It is 50 minutes long.
5-0.
Yeah. It's one of the longest ballets that I've been a part of that Trey's created. I've been in the company for 6 years now. And he just kept pulling out these Queen songs. And some of these songs that I didn't even know, you know, I kind of knew the more popular ones that you hear. I always, whenever we do like school shows and stuff, I'm like, do you know Queen? They're like, no. I'm like, I bet you do, because they play them at sporting events. And, you know, we put on We Will Rock You and the kids go crazy. But Mercury Half-Life is incredibly entertaining. And I think it really takes the audience on quite the journey. You know, they're really with us. They're there for 50 minutes. The dancers are dancing for 50 minutes. It is hardcore, very athletic movement. And there's also tap dancing in Mercury Half-Life, which is really cool. It's kind of a new element that Trey brought into this ballet.
Now, did I see that you sort of got a start with tap dancing?
I did, yeah. I started dancing when I was 4, and I went to preschool with my dance teacher's daughter, and they had invited me to come. We became friends. They had invited me to come take dance class, and tap dance was the first dance class that I got involved with. And I kept doing it for quite some time, and then when I graduated high school, I... went to the Juilliard School in New York City, and the tap class was Saturday mornings at 9 a.m., so I decided to sleep in rather than continue with my tap dancing. So I put my shoes away for about 10 years, I got an email from Trey, and he was like, hey, I'm thinking about choreographing tap. And I didn't know that Trey knew how to tap dance. Trey is an incredibly musical choreographer. He understands music better than most people that I know, the ins and outs of music. And so I knew that he understood music, but I didn't know that he knew how to tap dance. But come to find out that he also got a start in tap dance at a very young age. And we walked into the studio and he was like throwing out all of this tap lingo, and I wasn't quite sure how it was going to go. I thought maybe I might improv, and he's like, oh, I like that step. Like, let's glue that step with that step. But that's not how it went at all. Like, he choreographed it step to step to step, which it's like, wow, because I had never experienced him choreographing tap dance before.
Well, you mentioned Juilliard, and you've pretty much been with the Trey McIntyre Project since you graduated from Juilliard. And now then you're here in Fayetteville, but these are the final weeks of the final tour for the Trey McIntyre Project. Yeah. So what's it like to be with this company sort of at the end, and what's next for you?
Yeah, so I graduated from Juilliard in 2008, and I met Trey my senior year, you know, trying to get a job. And at that point, the company was just starting out in 2008, and it was making its home base in Boise, Idaho. And it's been an incredible 6 years. I'm so thankful. It's a very unique experience for a dancer to be a part of a company that's just starting and to really have a voice in the creation of the company and the wants and needs of a dancer and a dancer on tour. And we've toured all over the world. It's been an incredible experience. You know, last May we went to Southeast Asia. We went to Korea, South Korea, the Philippines, Vietnam, and China. We've been all over Europe. I think it's something crazy, like we've been to like 40 or 42 states in the United States. It's been quite the ride. Yeah, so the company, Trey, announced this year that he was looking to move on to dive into new artistic endeavors. Trey is an incredible filmmaker, an incredible photographer, and he wants to kind of dive into that. And he's still going to be choreographing. He's going to be freelancing on other dance companies. He just had a world premiere with Pennsylvania Ballet a couple of nights ago. And so, yes, we're doing – this is the last tour.
So don't wait till next year, folks.
Don't wait. Yes, if you don't come see us tonight, then I don't know when it is you'll ever get to see us again.
I know that both the Trey McIntyre Project and you personally have worked with the Pride Foundation. You were a Pride Foundation ambassador, working to tell people about equality for LGBT. You arrive in Arkansas in a historic week when the first same-sex legal marriages are happening. The place where you live, Boise, Idaho, the ban has been struck down on gay marriage just this week. I'm just curious, what's that like for you to see this history?
It's unbelievable. I get teary-eyed just thinking about it, especially, well, for every state. But Idaho, we've had such a difficult time with our political leaders in the LGBT community. It's still legal in Ada County in Boise to be fired for being an LGBTQ person, and we've been fighting that. They've been fighting that anti-discrimination law for 8 years now. They call it the Add the Words campaign. So it's been such a struggle, and then this huge monumental decision happened. It's an unbelievable thing, and then to be here in Arkansas, and you know, I follow Twitter pretty heavily in the human rights campaign, and you know, all of the news sources, and it's just been so fun to get on Twitter and see it blow up, and the communities happening, and you know, and I kind of felt like it's my job for the company. You know, sometimes they don't follow those specific issues as close as I do. So it was fun to be in the bus when we landed in Arkansas to be like, hey, guys, you know, this is a big deal for us to be here. Something just major happened. So it was exciting to be able to share that news, something that I feel like I'm very passionate about.
Well, we look forward to your performances tonight, and best of luck on what comes next for you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Brett Perry is a dancer with the Trey McIntyre Project. The Trey McIntyre Project will be on stage tonight at 8 at Walton Arts Center in Fayetteville. It's part of the Walton Arts Center's 10 by 10 series. It is Friday, May 16th, 2014. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Christina Thomas.
With us, Becca Martin-Brown, features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
Ooh, and I'm in a scary good mood today.
A scary good mood.
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Well, I scared you. So.
Well, yes, you did.
I've been waiting years to sneak up on him, and I finally got it done today.
I was wondering what the commotion was
That's
about.
That's what the commotion was
yes.
about.
Didn't know you were behind the door.
Anyway, today is all about kids.
Yes.
Because it's that time of year.
And we've been doing this all week.
And so here we go.
All right.
Tonight, Pirates of Penzance Jr.,
mm-hmm.
a young people's version of the operetta. I love that. The very model of a modern major general. It's students from the Academy of the Arts at the University of Arkansas at Fort Smith. And showtimes are 7 o'clock today, 2 and 7 on Saturday, and 2 on Sunday at Breedlove Auditorium at UAFS.
So 5 chances.
And tickets are $8 to $12 at 788-7300. It's also Endangered Species Weekend that starts tonight with talks about bats, fish, reptiles, and butterflies. Goes through Sunday at Devil's Den State Park near West Fork.
So does that happen at the amphitheater? Do you know?
All over the place.
Okay.
All over. On Saturday, it's Hogwild Family Day.
At the Rogers Museum.
Yes, at the mm-hmm. Rogers Museum. Face painting, scavenger hunts, barbecue, which seems rude somehow, since yeah. there will be baby Hog pigs wild. There for petting. And a hog calling contest.
Right.
Apparently, there's two ways to call a hog. The okay. suey that we're used to, mm-hmm. and some people grunt.
Okay.
So they're going to see what the judges think would actually get them a pig.
I was going to ask, will there actually be swine there that you're trying to attract?
No, or? Just judges.
Okay.
That's free, and it's from 10 to 3 tomorrow. S-Fest, putting the spring in Springdale.
Mm-hmm.
is tomorrow at the Jones Center in Springdale. It is free, includes music by Backroad Anthem, a petting zoo, bouncy houses, and food vendors. That's from 10 to 4. And if you come inside the Jones Center, a $3 all-access pass will let you into the pool, the skating rink, and the gym.
Good deal.
Yeah.
Tomorrow is International Museum Day. Rather, Sunday is tomorrow is International Museum Day. I'm not here. It's Chalk Fest on the Walker Landing from noon to 4 at Crystal Bridges Museum in Bentonville.
So you can draw?
Mm-hmm.
I know some kiddos that love sidewalk chalk.
I don't know why. Yeah. It requires like all that crawling around on the sidewalk. Yeah. But
it's fun
I'm
for
old.
Kids.
Well, when you're lower to the ground, that's mm-hmm. not as big a deal as it is later in life.
The Fur Fun Fest is tomorrow at Turpentine Creek Wildlife Refuge in Eureka Springs. It's a benefit for the Good Shepherd Humane Society and has music and all sorts of things from 10 to 4. And it is
free.
Free. The Adventures of Alvin Sputnik, Deep Sea Explorer.
This is part of Artisphere.
Puppeteer Tim Watts, 2 and 8 tomorrow at the Walton Arts Center in Fayetteville. That's $6. And kind of a weird kids thing, but gosh, I'd like to hear it. The Fort Smith Symphony is performing a version of Wagner's four operas known as the Ring Cycle
mm-hmm.
with no words.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens at 7:30 on Saturday. It's not all of each one or you'd be there till Tuesday.
You would become an adult by the end of it,
exactly.
right?
Exactly. But it will be the most famous excerpts like the Ride of the Valkyries. And that happens at 7:30 on Saturday at the Arkansas Best Performing Arts Center. Really unique opportunity. This is not generally done outside of Europe and certainly not done in a relatively small city.
And it sounds like something that not just for kids, but maybe to the opera averse to hear some of this music.
Oh, I think so.
Yeah.
And on Sunday, the Block Street Block Party.
Always a good time.
Seems to be huge this year.
Oh, yeah. All kinds of music. DJs and kids music and rock and roll. Shaky Bugs will be there. Farmer in the Markets will be there. That's 11 to dark on Sunday on Block Avenue in Fayetteville. And it, too, is free.
And I just want to point out also, Saturday night at the Embassy Suites in Rogers, the Open Avenues Luau. I'm honored to be the MC there. So if you're looking for something.
Because he's everywhere.
Almost. All right.
Thanks, Becca. Becca Martin-Brown is features editor with Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
The 9th Annual West Fork Watershed Cleanup is tomorrow from 9 a.m. until 1 p.m. with check-in at Riverside Park in downtown West Fork. Volunteers are needed. Lunch will be provided. The West Fork Watershed flows to Beaver Lake, which is used as the primary drinking water source for more than 400,000 people. You drink it every day. Registration and information available through the Beaver Watershed Alliance at 274-8903 or bwdh2o.org.
KUAF will broadcast Mozart in the Museum live from Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art, May 28th at 8 p.m. Hosted by KUAF's Kyle Kellums and Katie Henriksen, this live broadcast will feature the Artisphere Festival Orchestra, interviews, and more. This event is made possible in part by contributing listeners of KUAF Public Radio.
Eureka Springs and the May Festival of the Arts welcomes Michael Martin Murphy with opening performer Michael Jonathan, host of Woodsong's Old Time Radio Hour, May 24th at the Auditorium. Jonathan will also host the premiere of the two episodes of Woodsong's that were taped in Eureka Springs last year. He'll host that Friday evening, May 23rd. Tickets and information available at 253-7333 or theaud.org. And remember, join KUAF for the first of those two Eureka Springs episodes tomorrow afternoon at 2.
And it is now time to announce the winners from a giveaway that we announced on yesterday's edition of Ozarks at Large. Listeners had an opportunity to win one of two packages.
That's right. We have two of these to give away. Let's first say what we have.
Right. And a recording of the 2013 Artisphere Festival Orchestra recorded in Crystal Bridges last year.
Not available in stores.
No.
This is when you get
exclusive.
Right.
Another CD from the Black Moods. They're a group that was in town just a few days ago, actually.
They played at the Stolen Glass in Fayetteville. They sat down in an interview that we'll hear in an upcoming edition, but their latest CD also.
Mm-hmm. 4 Malco movie passes.
That are good at any Malco movie theater in our region.
Mm-hmm. And then 4 tickets to a Naturals baseball game.
And they're in town tonight.
So you could go tonight.
You could. Well, you're not going to have these because I'm going to mail the tickets to you.
Oh, well, if you wanted to swing by. Okay.
Well, you
know. All right. You came up with a question.
Yes. Well, I said one package would go to someone who just said, I want to be in. But you'd have a better chance because we'd give one away to someone who could answer a question correctly. As it turns out, everyone answered the question.
I guess it was too easy.
Well, yesterday we had a story about the 100th anniversary of Peabody Hall on the University of Arkansas campus, and I used that for inspiration. I said, hey, what breed of dog was Mr. Peabody in the classic cartoon Mr. Peabody and Sherman, which also was a feature-length film just recently, right?
Okay.
They turned it into a movie. Everyone who answered had it right.
I don't know. He looks sort of like an Airedale or a Scotty dog.
Huh. Airedale. No, but he's a beagle.
Oh.
Mr.
Okay.
Peabody is a beagle.
All right. Shows what I know about my dogs.
The world's, well, he's not drawn exactly like that. It's not a scientific rendering there. He is the world's smartest beagle, because he invented. I would argue that he might be the world's smartest anything because he invented the Wayback Machine. Mm-hmm. Christopher Curry, thank you so much. You have one of these packages, and Andrew Filippo, you have the other. I will email you soon and ask for your address so we can mail these to you.
Congratulations.
Hello, I'm Robert Ginsberg, your host for Shades of Jazz every Friday and Saturday night from 10 till midnight. On the Friday edition of Shades of Jazz, we'll hear some great music, like that in the background. That's a group called Time Warp, playing the music of Duke Ellington. We'll also hear vocalist Jimmy Scott, pianist Aaron Parks, and more music that you'll be able to hear at the KUAF Summer Jazz Concert Series, including the Yellow Jackets and the Sons of Brazil. All this and more Friday at 10 p.m. right here on KUAF.
This is Ozarks at Large. Since Barrett Baber last visited our studio in late August, he's had a busy couple of months. In addition to teaching at Fayetteville High School, he's been performing with his band and winning a handful of contests. In January, he won the CBS Grammy Gig of a Lifetime contest. The prize? Flying to Los Angeles with his band and performing at the Nokia Theater. Last week, he stopped by the Furman Garner Performance Studio along with his bandmate Aaron Schauer to talk with Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda. During their conversation, Barrett and Aaron discussed what L.A. was like and how that experience came to be.
So I was on Facebook doing what I do, promoting the band, and one of my fans said, hey, you should submit a song for this contest. And I'm not really the contest kind of guy, which may seem hard for people to believe now.
It does, actually.
I said, okay, you know, I'll submit a song. It was really easy. Just put a YouTube link in and submit. And so I got an email saying, you know, a few weeks later that I was a finalist, a top 40 finalist out of several thousand submissions, which was neat. And so I said, well, okay, I'll post on Facebook and see if I can get some people to vote for me. You know, this would be a good promotional thing for us. And, you know, 1.6 million votes later, we're out in California. So it really was a special thing and quite an honor to see the people of Arkansas get behind us and really support us and send us out there.
Were you surprised when you won?
I was surprised not so much. It was such a long contest that it was hard to to really gauge how well I was doing at any moment. But they had a way that you can kind of tell if you were in the top five. Mm-hmm. And so right away I was in the top five. And that was surprising to me. I thought, oh, wow, you know, I can't believe it. I'm in the top five. And that's really when it started to take off. I started to post that on my Facebook and Twitter, and people started to share that. And this contest is a testament to how social media can really build a cause for you and you know, put you in the same realm as some bands that are in much larger markets than we are.
And so when you went out there, you got to perform, was it the day before the Grammys on a side stage or something?
Yeah, it was. We played at Club Nokia, which is down near the Staples Center, and we opened for a band called The Neighborhood, which has some really killer songs on the radio now, and they're really great. And so it was a sold-out show. There's 2,000 people there, and it was a Grammy event. You know, it was a few days before the Grammys, but we got to do that, and we're really well received by the crowd and the people in California.
I know when you guys got back, I ran into Aaron in town, and you mentioned what the experience was like for you guys because you got to fly out there, and then they kind of, I don't know, they gave you a limo or something.
Yeah, they gave us lots of limos. That was nice. But we flew out there. I flew out there separately because I missed the flight.
Oh no.
The one time I get to go to Los Angeles for like some huge event, I missed the flight.
But you made it.
Eventually I made it. And then we got there and they treated us like we were rock stars for a week. For really, it was like 8 days.
That was really the most impressive part about it. I thought all along that when we won the contest, I thought, oh, this will be cool. We'll go play. There'll be like 10 people at the show. It will be in California. They'll put us up in some motel and it will be kind of an afterthought, but it was the exact opposite of that. It was like we walked out and there was this, you know, person holding a placard with my name on it, and we get in this big limo, and it's like, are you serious right now? Like, we thought we were going to have to take a cab, and we're ready to, you know? And so, and we stayed in a great hotel, and they treated us awesome. The folks at CBS were incredible about that, and it was one of the most amazing experiences as musicians, I think, that any of us have ever had.
Did you guys actually get to go to the Grammys?
We did.
Yeah.
Yes. And we didn't know that we were going to until right at the last minute. We got to go walk the red carpet, do red carpet interviews. You know, that we had a press person that was walking us down there and, you know, introducing us to people and getting us, you know, interviews and some publicity. And then right at the last minute, they said, oh, by the way, here's your tickets for the show. And so we got to go into the show, and, you know, we were in the nosebleeds, that for sure. But at the same time, we were in the Grammy, so it was so awesome. It was a really cool experience to see all those musical acts and just kind of watch it all unfold.
Any personal favorites or heroes that you got to see on stage?
I mean, I don't know about heroes. It was cool. We were standing next to Willie Nelson and Kris Kristofferson and
Blake Shelton.
Was it Blake Shelton?
They were all performing together, yeah.
It was Blake Shelton and Merle Haggard. That's the one I was thinking of. And they were beside us on the red carpet, so we were close to them. They're old. And then we got to see them perform. And I would call it a great performance. I mean, I'm sure people saw it, but it was kind of cool to see those guys together.
I think one of the most magical moments of the whole week really was we got to go the day before the Grammys to tour the Staples Center while they were still putting up the stage and running the show and running sound check. And so we were there, you know, we walked in and they're like, I don't know who's checking. We'll just see, like, you guys just sit back here in the back. And then Paul McCartney came out and ran his song twice. And then Ringo Starr came out and ran his song twice. So it was like, man, I sat in a room once with Paul McCartney. It was, you know, there's several hundred people in there just dispersed throughout the Staples Center. But it was pretty special to sit there and these guys, these pioneers of music and that are doing really cool things and are still doing cool things, to be there and hear that and be, you know, on the floor and so close. That was an amazing experience.
Now, you say you're not the contest guy, but you won another contest.
I sure did. That's the crazy thing. I did. I actually submitted the Song of Arkansas for the Song of Arkansas contest put on by the Department of Tourism, Parks and Tourism, before the Grammy gig.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. And the idea with this one was you had to write an original song.
Yeah, they were like, hey, we are looking for an original song about Arkansas. There's a couple stipulations that needed to name a place, a couple, like an attraction in Arkansas, that kind of thing. And so my co-writer, Kenny Lamb, and I sat down one night, in fact, in my classroom at Fayetteville High School, and we didn't really have anywhere to write that night. So we went there, and I said, man, have you heard about this contest? And he was like, I don't know, man. I'm not a big contest guy. I was like, I don't know, man, me neither. And he's like, well, do you have any ideas? And I've been thinking about it. And so I had the melody idea where I spelled out Arkansas in the melody. And then we just started to kind of work. And just like songwriters do, we got inspired. And, you know, within 30 or 45 minutes, we knew we had really something special on our hands. And so we just tweaked it and worked it for a couple hours and came out with a really good song and went ahead and fully produced it and submitted it for the contest just to see. And we looked at each other after we wrote it and said, man, it's cool, man. We might actually win this thing. And so I get back, you know, from the Grammy gig, and sure enough, I'm a finalist in that contest, too.
And then you won.
Yeah, and then the people, just like in the Grammy gig, I'm sure it didn't hurt that I'd gotten all that publicity, you know, but sure. I'm really proud of my song. I think it was the best, and people got behind it and fell in love with it. And that is taking on a life of its own now as far as licensing of the song and being used in TV commercials and, you know, at the parks and tourism and merchandising and all kinds of stuff that's happening. It's really exciting, and it's crazy because we almost didn't write it.
And that's the idea, is that it's for commercial use. Mm-hmm. And
yep.
Awesome. And more recently, you were at George's for a benefit concert for the victims of the tornado that went through Vilonia and Mayflower. How did that come about?
That was really good and a thing that we were really proud to be a part of. I got a text message from Brian Crown that owns George's down there and right after the tornadoes hit and said, hey, would you be interested in playing a benefit show on Wednesday? You know, for no money, we'll donate all the proceeds. And I texted the guys and said, you know, we got to do this. And they jumped right on board, too. And I think one of the reasons is because we're from Arkansas. We all live here. And we really felt how powerful that can be when you're from Arkansas and you're doing something cool, or you're in a jam, or you need help, and you need the people around you that don't know you to get behind you, and they do, and they do it for no reason other than you're just an Arkansan that's doing something cool or that needs some help. And so we felt that power in the Grammy Gig of a Lifetime contest because we were going up against some bands that were from huge markets, from Pittsburgh and New York and California. And word just got out that this band from Arkansas was doing something cool. And you know, little old Arkansas could win this thing. And the people got behind us. And it's kind of similar, I think, certainly not, you know, not on any level the same as far as seriousness, but it's similar in that when people are affected by, you know, a disaster in the state of Arkansas, I think that people are really defined by their response to it, and we all come together to help each other. So it was an obvious yes for us. Like, totally, we're going to do this. If we can help, we can. You know, all we know how to do is make music. I don't operate a chainsaw. I don't know how to do that kind of stuff. I don't know how to put a roof on a house. I just know how to make music, and so that's what we did. And it was a really special night.
And you guys raised about $2,000.
Yeah, $2,000 that we sent down, and we sent it down with the local church, and they were just going to go down and just find people in need right on the spot and kind of relieve those needs. Instead of, you know, maybe donating it to a big mm-hmm. charity or something like that. Like, that really, you know, spoke to me as far as people going down and just seeing someone, hey, this person, you know, doesn't have diapers to put on their kid. You know, they're totally out of money, or they, mm-hmm. you know, man, we can fulfill that need right here, right now. Like, let's go do that. This $2,000 that was just raised 2 days ago can help you today. And so that's really cool that's the way it was spent.
Well, summertime's coming, and that's lots of gigs. I know you've got a show on the 16th at George's, mm-hmm. sort of kind of kicking off, summer of shows.
Yeah, it is. It's a kickoff gig, and our first full band show since the Grammy gig. We've played some stuff. We played a homecoming show that was about an hour set, and then we did the tornado thing the other night. But this is our first time to headline on the big stage at George's, and so we're super excited to do that. We've got some new songs that I've been working on and writing, and that we're going to debut, and it's going to be a really cool show. Our opener, Josh Noren, is from Rogers, and he's been in Nashville for a couple years now doing his thing, and he's a really great musician. And then there's an acoustic opener as well, Justin Driggers, who is local to Arkansas. So it's some Arkansas musicians playing a lot of original music and some fun covers, and it'll be a fantastic night on the 16th.
Well, you guys have your instruments. Can I hear something?
You bet. Well, this is a new song that isn't released or anywhere for anyone to hear. It's called Fallen Again, and I wrote it with my co-writer, Kenny Lamb. And I normally play it on the acoustic, but we're going to give it a shot. This is a KUAF first right here. I've never done it this way before, but I'm excited. Let's do it. It's called Fallen Again. Sight, useless to try to fight the wave that crashed into me. Wanna take this trip as far as we can get. I love those baby steps, just you and me. Something still brings me alive with just one touch. It don't take much. And I'm falling again like a little boy chasing his kite in the wind. You come on in and get me falling again. Falling again like the first time I felt you pulling me in. And just like then, you get me falling again. Spinning, man, this is living, just dancing with you. All it takes is just one love song, and I'm long gone, and all I want to do is hold you closer than ever. Never lose a rhythm and rhyme, time after time. I'm falling again like a little boy chasing his kite in the wind. Oh, you come on in, you get me falling again.
That was Barrett Baber and Aaron Schauer inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio. They visited our studios late last week. Barrett will be performing tonight at George's Majestic Lounge in Fayetteville. The concert is scheduled for 9:30. Tickets are $8. For more information on upcoming performances, you can visit barrettbaber.com. And to hear Barrett perform his track that won the Arkansas Department of Parks and Tourism's Song of Arkansas contest, listen to Weekend Ozarks at Large, Sunday morning at 9, here on KUAF.
I'm Bob Garfield. On this week's On the Media, the abduction of more than 200 Nigerian schoolgirls has the full attention of the international press. For now.
Where were you guys over the years as Boko Haram has waged this campaign of terror? And where are you going to be as it continues? Because this is not ending anytime soon.
Don't miss this week's On the Media from WNYC.
Sunday at 11 a.m. on 91.3 FM.
You could win tickets plus camping to the 11th annual Wakarusa Music Festival June 5th through 8th on Mulberry Mountain in Ozark. Over 150 acts will perform, including Bass Nectar, Dr. Dog, and Boombox. The winner will be announced May 30th during the noon edition of Ozarks at Large. Registration information available at KUAF.com. If you're planning on winning that, you got to be ready to go.
Pretty much. I mean, you have to plan on
right.
going.
Have your tent and everything ready.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
All right. Hopefully it won't rain this year. You never know.
You
never
know. No, you know you don't.
You never know. All right. Well, this is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Bentonville, and Gilbert.
Gilbert. Mm-hmm. I was near Gilbert last weekend.
You were?
Yeah, oh, relatively speaking.
So pretty.
It really is.
Yeah.
You know what I did last weekend?
You went camping.
You know what else I did last weekend?
You went to a dance recital. Well,
but I did something for the very first time in my life.
Okay.
I floated the buffalo.
You've never floated the buffalo?
I don't know how to swim, which has always kind of made me a little bit leery of being on a body of water. Mm-hmm. And I don't like to get my face wet because I think I might drown. But anyway, and I've always felt like a slight fraud that I hosted something for almost 25 years. It was Ozarks at Large, but I hadn't floated the buffalo.
Yeah.
All right. Taken care of. It was wonderful.
It is wonderful. Which part did you do?
Put in at Dillard's Ferry. Now I sound like one of these guys, right? Put in at Dillard's Ferry and floated down to Buffalo Point.
All right.
It was a lot of fun.
I haven't done it. Well, actually, I kind of did last year. I went to Gilbert last year.
Well, there you go.
So
I did something for the first time ever this past weekend. Why don't you do something for the first time ever this weekend?
Well, I am.
Yeah, what you going to do?
Well, I'm getting married on Sunday.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I know.
Yeah, that's fun.
Big deal. It's crazy.
So if you had a great boss, he would say, you know what? You don't have to co-host Sunday weekend Ozarks at Large Sunday morning. It's the day you're getting married.
I know, but I'll be here.
Okay.
We're not getting married until the evening.
Well, there you go. You'll have hours after we're
right?
done with the show.
Because that's on at 9 a.m.
Right. So, okay. Well, big weekends all the way around. Hope you have a very good weekend. Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Christina Thomas.
Thanks so much for listening. We will be here Sunday morning at 9.
Yes.